turn people against you. Maybe they shouldn't have.
What?
This lady's anxious for cold weather. And she seems such a nice lady.
She didn't tell you she was born in Siberia.
Okay, well, good evening. I guess, we got the green light. We're ready to go. Woo-hoo. Everybody make it in? Hopefully nobody tried to turn in that first drive out there. That's a 3-foot drop. Oh, no. Yeah. Just be paying attention when you drive out so you stay on that little narrow. Yeah, after I'd been here, they come up and said, "Are you going to want to leave today?" I thought, "I might." So, we're digging this all out. You better find someplace else to put your car. Oh, okay. So, anyway, but they're moving fast, you know. Who knows? We might have cement or asphalt or something out there one of these days. Okay. Let's see. Friday night, Alpha Women Center, dessert and coffee bar. So I'll go drink high test coffee and stay awake all night long. And then come in at 8 bells in the morning for work day on Saturday. That was a goof on my part. Pick the work day. I was trying not to overlap with men's retreat or ladies' retreat. And anyway, there's always something going on, I guess. So, all right. So we are going to look here at lesson number 3. This sounds like the series of messages we worked on here, but enjoying the life in the midst of adversity. Okay. A lot of that going around. In there. You probably heard the news. I know I'm not supposed to talk about politics, but I'm sorry. It doesn't just affect Democrats or Republicans. We're on the receiving end of this. Read that the governor has pardoned close to, it's 900, way up there, close to 1,000. Pardoned people out of prison. Apparently he said when he went in he was going to cut it, prisons back to 50%. Well, he's doing his what he can. Out of those 1,000, 270 are either attempted murders or murderers. 40 some are rapists or child abusers, and they're out on the street right now, and he's not done yet.
This is Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we really ought to be praying, because you don't know where you're going to run into one of those at the next stoplight that tries to take your car away from you or what. So anyway, okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word and its truth. And you tell us that we can still enjoy life even in the midst of adversity. And we don't have to look too far around us to find that. It may not be something that we're faced with each and every day of our lives, but it's out there and the potential's there. And we just pray you'd help us to focus in on your word today, that we could learn some truths and principles that be of help to us, that we might, as the title says, have a stress-free life. That seems like kind of a dream, but I think you really want it to be a reality for us. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the lesson doesn't talk an awful lot about attitude, but I think that plays a pretty good chunk of it. What difference does it make with you, in your attitude when you're facing problems, trials, adversity? Okay, what? Okay, negative attitude. What can that potentially cause to happen in your life? Wrong decisions, get down, discouraged, defeated. Okay, all right. It's kind of back to the glasses half full or half empty. You know, which is it that we're looking at? We talked about that here the other week. About focus, trying to focus in on, and again, some of them you're going to have to get the high-powered microscope out, but to focus in on the good in somebody's life and forget the rest, but at least that's what the little saying was. Paul is a guy just like the rest of us. When he hurts when somebody jabs him. He hurts when somebody beats him with a whip or stones him. He's an educated person. He's not got mental issues where he just doesn't understand what in the world's going on. But he's faced with adversity. So he's in jail. Why did he end up in jail anyway? Yeah. Okay. Now, have you ever been there? I'm doing a good thing. Why is this bad stuff happening to me? You know, sometimes we're kind of going, if I'm doing something good, things are supposed to go okay. And we've seen there's somebody else out there that doesn't like it when we're doing something good for the Lord. But yeah, he was preaching the gospel. he got into issues there in Jerusalem, ends up in Caesarea, imprisoned for 2 years, finally appeals to be able to go to Rome since he's a Roman citizen. And, whether he's going to get a fair shake from Caesar or somebody in Rome, that's yet to be determined yet. He's for not having done anything wrong, he's been in prison for a number of years now. And then on the way to Rome, they get shipwrecked and they have to swim ashore. One of the soldiers thought they should just kill all the prisoners, and no, we won't do that, we'll let them all get ashore. What happens when he gets to shore? Gets bit by a poisonous snake. Yeah, and so he finally makes it to Rome. He's under house arrest, and so he's got Roman guards either chained to him or standing there 24/7. But now he's writing these letters. At least he has the freedom to write these churches, and he's got the time on his hand. Okay, so what's the downside of all this? Okay, so he's in Rome under house arrest. What else is kind of going wrong, maybe, as far as Paul, maybe Paul would like to have been able to do. Chris?
Well, he's not out or going out evangelizing. He's got a very selective audience, his jailers, the captain of the jailers. Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't. I mean, he's been all over the place. I mean, he had, they didn't have, what is it, Eurorail, where you pay one price and you can ride the train however much as you want. He didn't have one of those, but he was traveling a lot around that area. But now he's grounded, okay? Mark, do you have? And you've heard me say this, it's just the title of a book, but I think we get the picture. What's her name again? Barbara Johnson writes the book. Okay, well anyway, bloom where you're planted, okay? We don't always get to pick where we get planted, whether it's in a family, whether it's in a workplace situation, a neighborhood, whatever. Sometimes, but as a child of God, is it bad luck that we ended up there? No. There is no luck in as a believer, good or bad. But God has a plan. I really believe this. You know, God's got a plan. It's like a blueprint. He's got a purpose for our life, all right? And he very well, he would have put us in that position for a reason. And so we've got a choice, okay? Again, here comes the attitude. We can gripe and complain about it, or we can look around and say, what good can I accomplish here? God put me here. What am I supposed to do? All right? And it would probably be pretty easy for Paul to sit down and start writing letters, griping about the food, griping about, all, you know, like to get out and get some fresh air, like to do all this, can't do it, you know, and just whine and moan. And that would have drug him down a little further and everybody else that's reading it. I know everybody's probably got somebody like that. Maybe it's an old friend, maybe it's a relative, whatever. And it's, you kind of wonder, do they ever smile? It's they're always down. There's something always wrong with something somewhere. Life's not fair. And you know, Paul could have got hung up on that, sitting in the corner and sucking his thumb, feeling sorry for himself. But that's not the route that he chooses to go. And so one of the things that's going to help us to have a stress-free or less stress, maybe we ought to go that route first, less stress life, is to keep problems in perspective. And we all have problems, okay? And, you know, it's as probably as different as there are people here. And, you know, I'm not all positive all the time either, okay? And I guess it's happened a couple times. That's why it's stuck in my head. But, okay, so I'm sitting at the light, and you guys know by now how much I love sitting at red lights. The longest light in the world, you know? And, need to get going here, you know, and I don't know what else is going on. But as I'm sitting there, I'm watching this guy, and this is before they did all the tearing out all the curbs and, you know, made them all sloping. Guy's in a wheelchair, and he's going over the edge to the street and going across the street and trying to get one wheel up and then another wheel up and get onto the sidewalk again without tipping over, you know? And I'm in traffic. I can't just leave the car and go help the guy. And, you know, and I think, man, What have I got to complain about? You know, it kind of puts things in perspective. Or, you know, it's like the little story about, you know, how you complained about having no shoes until you saw the guy who had no feet. You know, there's always somebody else worse off than you. And I remember telling that to somebody once, and don't tell me these stories. It just makes me feel worse. I'm just trying to put things in perspective, you know? Yeah, you got a problem, but there could be a whole lot worse than this, all right? And so he's putting his problems in perspective. And so let's look here at Philippians. Everybody else is probably there but me. Just a minute, I'll catch up. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So, okay, he's got a lot of things he potentially could complain about. He's had a lot of adversity. As I said, he's been chained to this guard, or at least there's a guard right there. But rather than focusing on that, he says, these things have happened unto me, have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. These seemingly bad things have happened to me, and as a result of it, good things have happened. The gospel has flourished. The gospel has went out. Instead of me being muzzled because I'm here and I can't be out and about and standing on a street corner or going to the synagogues and so forth and preaching the gospel, like I said, got a captive audience. I got this guy. They say they traded around about every 2 hours. And after being around Paul for 2 hours, they're probably going, okay, got my hearing back. I probably gave him an earful, all right? And then the next guy comes in. And we don't know how many there are in this rotation, you know, whether it's a dozen same guys over and over and over again. We don't know exactly how it worked out. But again, as he mentions here, says Paul can keep his problems in perspective because he knows that God has a purpose for allowing them. Folks, we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to remind ourselves, this is not just bad news. This is not bad luck. This is not, you know, the world circling the drain, whatever kind of thing. God's allowed this to happen, okay? God didn't make any mistakes here. He's put me here for a reason, and so I need to take advantage of it. There's got to be some reason that he put me here, not just to watch me squirm or put me out of circulation for a while. But he says here that as a result of that, because of my bonds, because I'm in prison, because I'm in chains, Christ is manifest or made known in the palace and in all other places. Okay? He's reached some of these soldiers for Christ. And they in turn have went and told somebody else. And they went and told somebody else. And now it's into the palace. And I don't know if it said it in this notes or somewhere else I was reading when it talked about they believe that even Caesar's wife had gotten saved in the process of all this. Okay? So, and these guys that were a part of the guard, says they were part of the Praetorian Guard. They were kind of the upper echelon. This wasn't the ones that have been drafted or something. And would later on be the ones that would be leaders in the country and in the army and so on. And so he's using this as an opportunity to share the gospel with these individuals. Okay, so something, okay, from our perspective, something bad happened. But there was good results from it. Can you think of other scriptural people or evidence that comes to mind? Something, again, from our perspective, human perspective, it looks like something bad happened. But yet, it turned out to be something good. Yes. But you know what? I'm thinking it probably took more than a day or two for him to figure that one out. You know, he might have had a few little pity parties along the way before he realized that, you know, God didn't make any mistake here. He knew what he was doing. And there was probably great potential for Paul to become proud. I mean, he had been a Pharisee. He was a big shot in the Jewish religion. And, you know, and now he's an apostle and everything else. But, you know, God kind of kept his thumb on him just so his ego didn't get a couple hat sizes. Well, okay, so we got, you know, this has happened to Paul. Anybody else? Somebody else?
Something bad that happened to
him? Well, okay.
God used for good?
Yeah, right.
Crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Okay, yeah, well, that's the bell ringer, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you think, you know, the disciples, before they figured out what all was going on, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. You know, our leader is gone. Well, yeah, but 3 days later, he's risen again. And yeah, amazing. Okay, so, yep. Yeah. Yeah, wow. One thing after another. You got your own flesh and blood. Now, I don't know. The way Chris talks, his brothers might have done that to him. But sold him off for a couple of Tootsie Roll Pops or something. I don't know. Maybe they liked him more than they let on. But they wouldn't have anybody to beat on if they did. No, but yeah, brothers sell him off into slavery. He goes to Potiphar's house. Things are looking really good until Mrs. Potiphar, you know, pulls a slick one on him, and he ends up in jail for how many years? And, oh, man. And then the guys that, you know, he said, can you put in a good word for me? And they kind of forget about it. Yeah. And, well, I mean, it talks about that. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Okay? And, you know, again, every story doesn't end up like the little kid's story, and they lived happily ever after. Okay, sometimes this side of heaven, everything isn't all, you know, roses and no thorns. But yeah, it, God allows things to happen, but there's a purpose behind it. And whether it's, you know, whether it's Jesus or whether it's Paul or Joseph, they had to end up where they where the seemingly bad things happen before the good could happen, all right? And I was looking for illustrations of this, and this is a modern-day one. It says, a story of Raymond and Yvonne Bailey. At just 22 years old, their marriage was dying, and they met in a restaurant to discuss divorce arrangements. When their meeting was over, Raymond agreed to give Yvonne a ride on his motorcycle to Yvonne's mother's house. On the way, they were involved in an accident and both ended up in the hospital. I don't know if nurses do this, but they did. When the nurses learned of their impending divorce, they put the couple in the same room. Nurses determined to patch up more than their broken bodies. They wanted to patch up the broken marriage, and guess what? It worked. Now, as I said, who would have believed that something as bad as a motorcycle accident, having ended up in the hospital, could save a marriage? That doesn't look like usually the solution you'd go to if you went to marriage counseling. Well, go for a motorcycle ride. See how that works out. But, you know, again, and this verse is often misused, okay? So we have to be careful how we use it. But Romans 8:28, God is able, okay? You and I aren't, but God's able to work all things, good, bad, and otherwise, together for good. He didn't say everything was good, but he says he can work it together to accomplish some good, okay? And, you know, if we had more time, we could go around the room and just maybe share how we came to Christ. Was it because everything was going good? Or maybe the bottom fell out? Or in my case, wasn't living for the Lord. Got the 2x4 across the head, you know? But it turned me around. Okay. And again, when we're in the middle of adversity, maybe that, you know, you hear about looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and you have to be careful of that, because somebody says, yeah, it's the light of the oncoming train that's going to run you over. But no, you're looking, we don't know how God's going to turn it out. Okay, we don't have, I mean, we can read the, you know, look at here and read Revelation and see how it's all going to turn out. We can't do that with our own life. We don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, I'm hoping, you know, the Lord's in control of that, that I don't end up in some nursing home with a bib around me and, you know, not knowing my own name. Lord knows. And he's going to promise to take care of us all the way through those speed bumps along the way. And we get to heaven and throughout eternity. But, okay, so God can turn things around. But when you're in the middle of the bad part, all right, you're with Joseph and you're, you know, year and a half in jail, not having clue whether you're ever going to get out of this thing or not. We got to do reminding ourselves a little bit, okay? And this is why if you, you know, some memorized scripture might help to kind of joggle your memory a little bit. But again, Satan's going to use that when you're weak, when you're down, when you're discouraged. He's going to do everything that he can to pile on and try to get us to discourage, to get us to gripe and complain and drag ourselves further down. And, you know, other people around about us, okay? As he mentions here, it destroys our witness. And I guess I just answered that. But, okay, so we're a Christian. We're in the middle of something bad from our perspective. And we haven't figured out what we're supposed to be doing good yet. We're just not happy with it. Is an unhappy Christian going to have much of a good impact on people around you? Yeah, if they know you're a Christian, you know, it depends on how long they've known you or what you've said to them or whatever. But if you as a Christian are going around with your lip hanging on the ground, woe is me, is there much motivation for anybody to want to say, wow, sure wish I had what they had? No. I mean, because you can find unsaved people that are happy, at least from as good as they know how. But, you know, he wants to drag us down, beat us up, want to give up. And then that's the kind of attitude that we have around us. So nobody, you know, we've been at work all week. We've griped and we complained and fussed and whined and so on. And then Friday, we ask somebody, would you like to go to church with me? Huh? Is that what they're teaching you at your church? I don't think so. No. And so it's not that we play some kind of mind games. This isn't mind games of some kind. But it does help us to be able to see that, you know, God can, he doesn't have to, but God can, if he wants to, turn things around. Now, we're not in control of the timing of it. You know, we usually want it done yesterday. And we can't, you know, box God into a corner. God, you got to do this. No, God doesn't have to do anything, all right? And yet, sometimes people either pray like that or you know, they're going to, you know, God's got to turn this around. You know, it's like us saying to God, God, you got to save that person. God doesn't have to save anybody, you know? And anyway, so as he mentions here, faith is often as much caught as it is taught. It's not just having the right doctrine, the right teaching, you know, because you come across people that got it right as far as scripture goes, but they're as cantankerous as they can possibly be, you know? And that's not going to draw people to Christ. You know, are we drawing people to Christ, or are we kind of repelling them? You know, saying, I don't want any part of that. Well, he mentions here, kind of in closing, we mentioned this before, but like Joseph saying to his brothers, you know, when they finally realize, you know, this is our little brother whom we did all these rotten things to, and he's well aware of it. He says, but as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it for good. And again, God's able to turn things around for good. And he doesn't just do that for, you know, Paul and Joseph and a few others. He can do that for all of us, right? And so part of it, again, as far as keeping the stress level down, is reminding ourselves that keeping things in perspective. And most of the time, you know, we're going through a difficult time. Now, I realize there are some things, maybe it's health issues or something, that do last a whole lifetime. But oftentimes, it's days, weeks, maybe months. It may seem like it's lasting forever, okay? But it's not going to last forever. We know there's going to be an end to it. It's not going to last for eternity. If nothing else, it's going to end when we die or the rapture takes place, okay? There's going to be a period in there somewhere. We're not destined to be, you know, have something bad happen forever. I'm just thinking, I don't know why that popped in my head, but was it in the Hindus that we're going to come back as some other animal, you know? And you think I'm going to be some lower-classed animal scrounging around the streets of New Delhi for the rest of my life trying to find something to eat, you know? No, I mean, the best is yet to come. And Paul, even though he's in jail, doesn't know how it's going to all turn out, knows that it's not going to last forever. And again, might just, whatever it takes to remember it, bloom where you're planted. Try to make the best. Well, you've heard all these different little sayings. When life serves you lemons, make lemonade, you know. You know, it's like, okay. Again, just remind yourself, God put me here. And I can gripe about it, or I can look around and try to figure out, what does he want me to do while I'm here, you know? What kind of an impact should I have on the hearts and lives of those around about us? Okay, so we'll look these other parts here next time. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. I know it's easier to say than to do it at times, but to keep our problems into perspective. But you do want us to do that. When, with the Lord's help, maybe we make that a matter of prayer. We ask the Lord to help us to keep things in perspective. It doesn't mean that we minimize our problems or our trials or difficulties, or we just ignore them and hope they go away, but to realize that no mistakes have been made. You've allowed this to happen in our lives, and there's a purpose behind it. And you're not doing it just for the fun of it. And so that we make look around and see what you might want us to do while we're in that position. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.